tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored with myself. And now, baby, I could use just a little help. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Hey guys and dolls, I'm Tom, that's Mike, and we have a third guy with us. Mike, explain.
We got Joe Gagne on the line because he went to CZW Massachusetts, and because Joe Gagne's just a great guy, and we're just honored to have him on. So welcome, Joe.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So, Joe, CZW in Massachusetts, how was it?
It was an event at in lovely Tingsboro, Massachusetts, at the Tingsboro Sports Center. And if that sounds vaguely familiar, that's where Chikara ran their Anniversario Zen event back in May.
Yeah. Were you at that?
I was not, actually. That was Chikara and I have conflicting schedules. I know I had to watch my son that day, and I know they're running in Connecticut this Sunday. That's my son's first birthday party, which I can't quite get out of. And most galling, they actually ran on my wedding day in a few towns over, which was upsetting to me because I had booked that date a year in advance, and then they decided to run a competition to me, and I think outdrew us. So,
now my question to you, Joe, since you said you didn't go to Chikara, and I know the history of you and Chikara dating back years, not lighting the stars and all that. Have you ever been at a show in this building? Because there's been like a bajillion shows there. It seems like
no, I actually never have. I've never had the means to venture up there. I know. Chikara ran, if you remember, the Hiding in Plain Sight show from last year, that great show with Brian Danielson, his match there. That was not too far away. That was in New Hampshire. And I know there are a lot of regulations up there. They had a lot of trouble. I figured they moved it to Tingsboro to kind of be in that same general area, but being in Massachusetts, not so much regulatory problems. I know a lot of the regular Massachusetts groups run there pretty frequently, but I don't venture to a lot of Massachusetts groups. I know they're probably pretty good, but you never hear a lot of buzz about the stuff going on up here.
Nah.
Is dying for the new DVD of Chaotic Wrestling.
Speaking of New Hampshire, I hate to sidetrack this. Did you hear about, you know, the guy that almost killed George the Animal Steel, right?
Yeah, I heard about that guy.
Yeah, did you hear that he almost killed an 8-year-old girl last weekend?
I missed that too.
Apparently, there was a show in New Hampshire where he did a dive out into the crowd and he completely wiped out an 8-year-old. And they sent her away in an ambulance.
Ooh.
So yeah, I promoted.
Hey, that DVD, I keep checking to see if that DVD is available, because that has Dragon and Shelton Benjamin on it, right? Is that the same show?
I think, Northeast or New something Wrestling.
Yeah, it's Northeast Wrestling, and they draw like 2,000 people to their events, too. So apparently they do something right.
So this, the building, which, if you haven't seen the car show, it is an indoor sports center. It took place on this little, like, soccer field with AstroTurf. The ring was right in the middle of it, along with the bleachers, and it's a curious setting for a show.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to ask you and you said you weren't at the Chikara show, if you saw it on DVD, because, like, it seems like a pretty awkward place. Like, the wrestlers were kind of coming out, like, where there was, like, a giant ball pit, like, you know, like, where the Headbangers fought Spike Dudley at, you know what I mean? Like, it looked pretty awesome.
Yeah, so it was like,
did you kind of get into that at all?
This big area, and like half of it was curtained off, and the part behind the curtain was, I guess, the quote unquote dressing room, which.
Oh, okay. So basically, like, what was the first match, I guess, was Alex Colon, who defeated Scott Reed and Ryan Slater. Now, Ryan Slater's a guy I've been kind of digging this year. I think he's like a young guy. He has like a really cool, like, I don't know, Tom, how would you describe it? Like, this, like, setup pile driver. It's pretty cool, like,
it's
up against the ropes.
Like, imagine, like, Randy Orton's DDT or Eric Cannon's spinning brainbuster deal. But instead of that, Ryan Slater's just like, I'm going to break your neck. And he sticks your head between his legs. I'm trying to figure that one out. But anyway, he sticks a head between his legs and goes droppity drop and kills a guy with a pile driver.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Did he do that, Joe?
No, I don't remember any pile drivers. I was impressed with him. He stood out to me as kind of a, you know, trash-talking douchebag heel. And, well, Alex Colon really did not a lot. He wasn't bad, but he didn't do much I remembered.
And what about Scott Reed? Because I think he's like a local guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's been around for Chaotic. I know he was in, I think he was in the 2008 Super 8, if that means anything to anyone, and probably not. But no, when he came out, I thought it was almost BJ Whitmer at first, because BJ Whitmer with Kevin Nash's face, and that's him. And
Only way shorter. Did you see him on the Dragon Gate pay-per-view?
No.
Yeah, he was. It was him and Rich Swann did like a jobber match, and then Brody Lee came out, killed both of them, and he came out with Nicole Matthews from Shimmer, and she was like a good 4 or 5 inches taller than him. So it was almost like I would rather Brody wrestle her than him. It'd be a more even match.
Yeah, the Clone and Slater, because Reed was. They both worked him over for a bit, and then they had the usual three-way. I want the pin. No, I should get it. Oh, let's fight. And then it broke down from there, and Cologne got the win. And it was a fine opener, nothing great, but it was fine, and I like Slater a lot.
That's good, I guess. And then, like, following that is Drew Gulak, who defeated Johnny Calzone, who I guess was there on a tryout. So how did Johnny Calzone look, Joe?
He's got a, you know, his gimmick, he comes out with one of those wooden pizza oven things, and he swings it like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and he's got a lot of charisma. His gimmick is a little silly but fun, but not much of a match. I haven't seen much of Drew Gulak. I don't know if this is a good match to gauge him in. Just not a lot, and Drew got the win with the Dragon Sleeper, and I did like how the television title resembles a television. I got a kick out of that.
Yeah.
A broken television at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, people kind of. Yeah, people bust on that title. I was in. No, people bust on that title, but I kind of. It's in some weird way I like it. I don't know what it is, but there's something about it. I just kind of dig it. It's not like, not the greatest belt in the world, but I kind of think it's cool.
It's kind of uncreatively creative.
Yeah.
Like a television title should look like a television, and that's very literal, but very different. And I do have to make a mention of this show. There was, I guess they forgot to bring the sound system up. So they had no ring mic. So Larry Legend, who did the ring intros, just kind of spoke real loudly. Not that he had
a lot of
people to address. There were, I think, between 60 and 70 people there.
This sounds like about 9 or 10 IWA Mid-South shows I've been to.
Well, even better, they forgot, like, there was the only sound system they had to play entrance music was, like, there was this one little speaker in one corner of the building. Now, picture all three of us are together in a room, and someone's cell phone ringtone goes off. It was slightly not quite as loud as that. Like, you're like, you weren't sure if someone's phone was going off or they were playing the next wrestler's theme music. It was just amazing. And I actually give Larry Legend a lot of credit. He does a good job as a ring announcer. I thought he was a very good MC.
Yeah, Larry Legend is awesome. Like, he's really good at being, like, a ring announcer. He's really good. It's too bad. They didn't have a microphone. That's funny, though. They didn't give him, like, a megaphone. They didn't give him, like, one of those things like the Spirit Squad had, you know what I mean, or something? Like those
cheerleader. Oh. Megaphone. Nope, just had to talk loud.
That's too bad. Maybe next time.
No, true story. There was an IWA Mid-South show here in Lafayette once in front of, like, seriously, like, 12 people. And the main event, the ring announcer, I forget if it was, like, Kevin Harvey or whoever, instead of, like, pretending to – because the sound system blew out halfway through. And instead of, like, pretending to, you know, stand in the middle of the ring and be all professional, he sits on the apron and points at one guy and goes, "That's Ian Rotten, and that's Steve Stone," or whoever was in there, and in the bell ring. Because we were all on the same side, so I think he sat down near us, too, so it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's just interesting. But anyway, the next match is a match I'm kind of interested just to see what his reaction was for the Black G's against Tommaso Ciampa. I'm sorry, am I saying that right? Who I guess is going to be on the next Dragon Gate pay-per-view.
Yeah, he's actually I'm sorry to interrupt, Joe. I just wanted to get in that he's an old OVW guy. I don't think anybody knows that, but he was so bad in OVW they made him a manager. So he was like Dr. Thomas Whitney, I think. He was Justin LaRouche, who went on to be Bam Neely. That's it, that guy. He was like his psychiatrist.
Wow, Bam Neely. Remember fucking Bam Neely? Jeez.
Ew.
And the weird thing about Bam Neely is, like, people crapped on him because it's like, oh, big tall guy. We must hate him because we're the internet. He came up with, like, Ace Steel and CM Punk and all those guys.
Yeah.
He's the forgotten Steel Domain guy. Him and Ricky Noga. Anyway, Joe.
I have to say, like, the last, like, five shows I've been to have been Chikara or WWE. So I'm used to a more fan-friendly environment, so Sabian coming out and being unfan-friendly was quite a shock and quite refreshing, in fact, because in reference to his music being played so loudly, he just turned my fucking music up about 50 times. he took an old man's cane and threw it across the room and nearly got into it with the old guy. And then when a staffer went to retrieve the cane, he said, "You better throw that back. There'll be trouble." And the guy did. He threw it across the room. And he was just, he was really good as this, like, you know, little shit talker. And I'd say Cipriani, if I'm saying that right. I don't know. He's another local guy. But he didn't, neither him nor Reed had that. You know how sometimes when you can tell who the local guys are on a show, they just don't fit in, and they were used just to round out the card. That wasn't the case here. I thought they worked a fun little match, and Cipriani has that. Other people do it, but it's like a power bomb, kind of drop into a lung blower type of deal, the double knee on the back. That was real cool for good near fall, but Sabian or Black G's got the win with the Jesus Walks Mushrooms. Stomp, double stomp off the top, and that was a fun little match.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up, because I went to the CZW show in Lafayette here, the show that they drew with like 100 people as opposed to 70, and Sabian was also amazing on that show, because he found this like 350-pound woman in the front row and put his hands up her shirt.
I was going to say, he got into it with another large woman on the show. I think she was questioning his size, calling him a midget, and he's like, "You're the largest one in the building." She may have been. He made a Twinkies reference. It was, he's a fine man, and I just remember him from, you know, I never thought too much of him before, but he's got a lot of little charisma. He's a fine little worker, so thumbs up.
Yeah, remember Sabian used to be like in those trios matches, like in Chikar, like in 2005?
Yeah, feud with the Colony and stuff.
He was Shane Storm before Shane Storm.
Yeah, now he... And now he's just like, I don't know, I think he's like this, the Black G's, you know what I mean? Like, I guess maybe because I'm from Philly and I kind of know like how, like a lot of those guys act sometimes and stuff like that. And he's just like, it's just so funny how he is. I don't know, I kind of get a kick out of it.
Does anyone really call that town Killadelphia?
I don't know, like maybe some, you know, people that live here, but I don't really call it Killadelphia or Illadelph. Like people do call it that, I don't call it that, but.
That's not even like street, that's just lazy.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't call it. I don't like that.
That's if I like called like where I'm from, like Fay, as opposed to Lafayette.
Yeah, right. I don't know, but I guess whatever the Black G's says, I guess, you know. So, but speaking, speaking of
Black
whole,
Jesus, here comes Niall Jung. What?
Yeah. Speaking of Jesus, why Jesus is Niall Jung back in CZW, Joe?
I just remember like this was one of the. We had joked, like, they had only announced, by Thursday night, they only announced four matches, and Tom made a joke, like, oh, it's going to be Chaotic Wrestling featuring some CZW guys, and that thankfully wasn't the case. This was, they announced six matches, and then they had, like, two more, I guess, bonus ones, which was one of them. And when I saw the reaction on the CZW fans' website, they're like, Niles Young, fuck no! I'm like, I don't, he came out with, I guess, Chrissy Rivera, she's a pint-sized valet, and took on Devin Moore, and they had a six-minute match. It wasn't bad. I couldn't get a very good read on either guy. Like, I didn't think Young was terrible or anything, but it was, you know, just a little six-minute match in the middle of the show. The end was a little absurd where Chrissy Rivera got in the ring and Nick Papagiorgio just, who had to ref every match tonight.
So yeah, I was going to ask.
He was fed up by this point. He lost all control. He just threw his hands up. She got in. Devin Moore, the courageous man that he is, took a swing at her, but she ducked and grabbed him from behind and was holding him, like, so Niles Young could attack him. But, of course, he broke free. Chrissy Rivera got chopped in the boob, and Devin Moore had a shooting star press for the win.
Oh, that human growth hormone gone to waste for Chrissy? Because she's not very strong. But anyway.
To be fair, like, I really haven't seen, like, a lot of Niles Young. I just know that he's not well-liked by, like, a lot of CZW fans. So the reason that I question why he's back is because, like, he's not well-liked. So I don't understand why bringing back somebody that is not well liked, but you know, whatever.
It's and I don't think DJ should have brought him back because he's not well liked, but he's not like completely awful like some Greg excellence that we know.
Yeah.
It's just he came around at that really dead point in like 2008 when the company really went off the hill and he was like one of the top guys. He was at least the top junior heavyweight. So I think he was the champion for a couple months. And so people associate hating CCW with Niall Jung.
Yeah. Maybe this is going to start for, I guess, a second chance, because, I don't know, Devin Moore really isn't, like, you know, my cup of tea personally, but, you know, I don't know who else you'd put him in the ring with, you know, so.
By the way, I just wanted to bring up how it's really lame to go to CZW and do an AR Fox move when you're not him. Apparently he did AR Fox, like, turnbuckle moonsault.
Yes, he did. He did, like, he ran up on across the apron and did, like, a moonsault off the, I don't know if it was off the post or off a turnbuckle, but.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Oh, well, anyway, the next match was Sammy and Joe Gacy, and I guess Sammy beat Joe Gacy via referee stoppage. What happened, Joe?
Actually, Gacy is quite Trevor Murdochian. I'd never seen him before, but it was a brawl from the start. It was a grudge match. The crowd wasn't too into it because, I mean, they probably hadn't seen these two guys before, didn't know they had an issue. It probably would have been a match better served for Philly, where they were familiar with both guys, but...
I agree.
Yeah, it was a brawl. They fought outside. It's funny. They fight outside, and Papa Giorgio was counting, like, this grudge match would end in a count-out. And they, you know, they hit each other. They did some chair shots, stuff like that, fought outside. Nothing too crazy. I know Sammy tried to stuff a box of muffins down Joe Gacy's mouth at one point. And it was funny, because there was actually... They had a TV, like, off in the corner showing the UFC event that night. So maybe that's where Sammy got the idea, because he was just laid in elbows to the back of Joe Gacy's head for the knockout, and that was that. And I have to say, Joe Gacy, calling your DVD Joe Gacy versus the World, I'm not amused.
Wow. Wow, you should start an internet rap feud.
When he graduates law school. Someone was walking around hyping that, and I'm like, I'm right here, you know.
What happened?
You should have confronted him.
At intermission, I don't know who it was, like Emil J, I think. I don't know if that's his name or not. Some guy in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles hat was walking around hawking this and saying, it's Joe Gacy versus the World. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
My question
There's
is,
only one, Gacy's, Joe.
Yeah, who has Joe Gacy faced besides, like, the Osirian portal? They consider, like, he's faced guys from Egypt and America. That's not the World. Faced some guys from, like, Afghanistan and Zimbabwe. And then we'll talk.
Yeah, chugging Joe Gacy. Anyway, the next match was a match I'm really interested in finding out because I fucking love Irish Jad by Ryan Brad and Rich Swann. They wrestled the Osirian Portal, who I'm sure you're familiar with, so I don't know if this was your first time seeing Irish Jad by, but what did you think of this match?
I thought it was good. I thought it could have been great. They had a couple things. They did it under quote-unquote international rules, which are pretty much lucha rules, where if you roll to the floor... You get the tag. I don't know if this is commonplace or not, but it kind of took the steam out of any hot tag they would make because I don't think fans were really prepared for that. I think every guy took turns playing a babyface in peril, but it got real good by the end, a lot of good sequences. Honestly, Ryan McBride, it just didn't seem to be in the match that much, and I don't really remember a lot that he did, but I did like Rich Swann a lot. He had a good amount of charisma. He asked my section if anyone had any dip before the match. We did not. it was good, but I think they could really have an excellent match if they just kind of cut out the nonsense, like just have a straight up tag match, and I bet it would be awesome.
By the way, my fiance is watching My Fair Wedding, and there's this like middle aged chick on here in a low cut dress, and her boobs totally look like Ryan McBride's face. Just wanted to bring that up.
Oh, I have to say, it was very jarring to hear Amasis drop an F bomb during this match. I'm just like, whoa, hey, slow down there.
But, yeah, Mass is cursing. Yeah, I know, right? It's like all those guy guys are speaking.
Fuck you. I'm like, yikes. What would Quack say to this?
Oh, I know. I love seeing Chikara guys like outside Chikara because I don't know, like I feel like they get to do a lot more because they're kind of like not like in their normal the normal habitat, you know what I mean? So it's kind of weird seeing that sometimes.
Yeah.
I just want to bring up one thing that I forgot to bring up during the Gacy Callahan match, the point that was brought up that, you know, it should have been done in Philly. Dietrich Hyde seems to like to take feuds that should be blown off in Philly and take them to other markets. It really doesn't make sense. Like Lafayette, we got Ruckus and Sabian in their first ever singles match against each other. I'm like, what? Dude, I appreciate the effort considering I was going to be there, but it did create a really awesome moment where Ruckus hid in the darkest part of the building so that he blended in so that he could sneak attack Sabian, and it was hilarious. Because instead of forearming him from behind, he goes, boo, and then Sabian turns around and gets punched. It was awesome. But no, DJ, and then like he does a title change in North Carolina in front of 60 people. It's like, what's up, DJ Hyde? And I got more to say about DJ Hyde if we go short in the show, because I watched something recently I want to talk.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's why I'm kind of like maybe just moving along in case we got any other stuff to talk about. So
I'm not trying to rush anybody. I'm just saying if we go short, I have something I want to bring up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, the next match, I guess, was 13, who I guess not to really like expose, I guess, who 13 used to be Lucky, if you remember Joe from I guess he used to wrestle in CW a few years ago. I don't know if you ever watched that time, but I think he was also in Chikara for a little while, too. He wrestled Danny Havoc, who was one of the more ultra-violent guys in CZW, and I heard this match was pretty insane, so I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, before the match, Billy Graham, I guess, 13's manager, cut a promo where he badmouthed the Boston sports teams, which seemed a little
odd. Yeah, what did you think of Billy Graham?
I thought he was a very good talker. I just thought it was strange, like you're this bizarre cult leader and you're mad at the Boston Bruins like that. It just seemed like cheap heat. He did a good aftermatch promo, but I mean, he's a good talker. It's a little odd to me to just go the old cheap heat route. But yeah, this match was really nuts. Like within a few minutes, it was like hitting light tubes over each other's heads, and there's like glass shards on the soccer field. And I'm like, I hope there's no like youth soccer game tomorrow where some kids are gonna get sliced up trying for a corner kick. But I mean, just craziness. Just beating each other over their heads. It was just it was crazy. Billy Graham come in. He got like beat over the head with a light tube. He was busted open. I think 13 had a bad gash on like his armpit or something, but he kept going. There was a Chevy Silverado randomly parked off to the side, and they fought over there, and there were a huge stack of light tubes on the back. They fought up on top of the cab. I think Danny Havoc went for a pile driver, but 13 reversed it, hit an air raid crash onto the back, onto the light tubes, and a huge explosion of bulbs, and got the win, and it was batshit crazy.
Now, Joe, have you? I know you don't have a lot of experience with the light tubes and such. Have you ever seen a deathmatch live before this?
No, I have not. This is my first one.
So, how did you accept the experience?
I was glad that I was not front row, and it was something else. It's a lot different seeing it live than watching, say, a Big Japan match at Kirk and Hall. But I wasn't like repulsed or anything. I was just like, wow, this is really nuts.
Yeah, see, I wish I would have broken into death matches more like you instead of going to King of the Death Matches live like I did, which was not a good idea. Though that was the year that did Necro and Toby Klein, which was amazing.
Oh yeah,
that was it was a little overload. But what were you gonna say, Mike?
I wasn't gonna say anything. I was just
grunting.
To you guys. Yeah, grunting.
That's what we pay you the big bucks for, Mike. So it was intermission time, and apparently there was lots of mingling during intermission, and Joe Gacy versus Joe Gagne. Battles to determine who can fight the world.
There was a lot of guys were out mingling and everyone was nice and all that. And there was this weird thing with this guy in front of us. I don't know if he's a wannabe wrestler or New England wrestler named X Factor. And picture like Tim Daunt's cousin in like Jeff Hardy gear. And he actually wore like, you know, those Hardy sleeve things. He actually wore those to the show. And I think he went up to Drew Gulak and challenged him to a promo. He wanted to cut a promo on him. And this turns into this big, huge thing. Like the entire arena was like circling these guys, and like, you know, Johnny Calzone was moderating this, and they had like a little verbal debate, and DJ Hyde shows up, and we're like, oh my god, is this guy gonna get booked? Like, I hope he gets booked to like get the shit beat out of him by someone. But there's this big huge thing, and DJ Hyde's like, you want to see X Factor? And half of us are like, boo. And then he's like, why don't we watch the main event? Because they have to take the intermission at the end of the show to set up the barbed wire for the main event, which is always odd, but I understand why you do it, but it's just strange to watch like an hour and 45 minutes of matches, have a 40-minute break, and then like a 15-minute match to end the show.
Now, my question is, during his promo, did X Factor at any point go, you ain't gonna look at me like that?
You know, he didn't say you're dealing with the X Factor, which...
Oh, heartbreaking.
it's right there. It's a softball.
Justin Incredible lives like 30 minutes from the building, I think.
Why was Justin Incredible not on the show? I'm so pissed off about that.
It was a shame.
I guess now would be a good time as any, just because I was going to ask you anyway, like, were there any interesting characters at this show besides Mr. X Factor?
The usual goofballs you see around. Someone brought, I saw like a 6-year-old kid running around. I'm like, seriously? You thought this was a good idea? You're like a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. Someone brought their kids to this show.
Oh, dude, I've seen, like, 3-year-olds at King of the Death match before. I'm serious. No, 2006 King of the Death, there was someone rolling around a baby in a stroller.
There's probably fucking people that were pregnant at those shows. You know what I mean? That's crazy. But I was at the last CZW show. I forgot to mention this on the last show. there was like a 65-year-old woman sitting next to me, like someone's grandma. It was like the weirdest thing in the world, like watching like fucking Ego and John Moxley like put each other through glass and like fucking there's, you know, this like 70-year-old woman sitting next to me. It's just bizarre, you know? There's no other words to describe it.
I would just stare at her the whole time. I wouldn't even care about the show. I would just want to see her reactions to this insanity.
Right?
Oh, my word.
Yeah, but anyway, I guess all this waiting for the intermission was for the main event, which sounds pretty good. I guess it's Nick fucking Gage. So I guess, what was your first impression on Nick Gage? Have you ever seen Nick Gage before?
Oh, yeah. I'd way back in the day, I used to be more into, well, not more into CZW. When I dabbled in indies, I saw a good amount of CZW.
Okay.
But I got more into, I determined that anything CZW did well, I could find another fed that did it better. And
yeah.
Something like Ring of Honor, who came to my neck of the woods, you know, I had more of a connection to them because, you know, I could go see them live.
ROH, CZW, well known for their Tournament of Deaths.
Yeah. And okay. I mean, like, for, I didn't really Mid-South, I like their death stuff better. So CZW was, I may have shortchanged him, I may not have, but that's just how it was. But I remember a lot of Nick Gage, and I remember he was always very interested in polling the fans about who the man was, and that certainly held true, as he asked the fans about 50,000 times throughout the match. Yeah, it's funny, Alan, like, and if anyone goes to the F4W board, there is a thread about John Moxley, and Alan's like, I didn't know he did death matches, and someone's like, he was in a barbed wire match on Saturday. Alan said, well, I don't consider that a death match. And I'm like, really? You should watch this. Nick Gage took a pizza cutter to John Moxley at one point, and then John Moxley suplexed Nick Gage onto the barbed wire four times for every side of the ring.
Wait, Alan didn't know that John Moxley did death matches?
He was unaware.
Wow, and I thought Alan watched everything.
You would think, but
I like Alan, but I seriously think he has, like, those little, like, Virtua player, like, huge goggles. And he, like, no matter what he's doing, he's always watching wrestling in these goggles.
You have to.
I mean, nobody can watch that much and lead a life and a job. And I love you, Alan. I don't know how you do it. I respect you for it greatly. And if you have this invention, I want one. Patent it. I will buy it off of you for $20, which we're out of debt.
Yeah, so this is, I know,
how was the match?
Yeah, it started out good. It slowed down a little bit. Both guys juiced big time. It was some nasty spots. I know Moxley didn't have the belt for some reason. He just showed up. But yeah, a lot of I was at another barbed wire match. I was at the Homicide Steve Corino one, like 7 years ago. Jesus, the War of the Wire one. I thought that one was a bit better. This one. At the end, Moxley got the win with, I guess, the hook and ladder, or the Dodon, if you're Alan, but onto a barbed wire bat. But no, it's pretty good. Good main event. Nick Gage was never really my cup of tea. I like Moxley a lot, but they did a pretty good job. It was a pretty good main event. It was just, after all that waiting around, it was almost a little anticlimactic at a point, especially after the batshit insanity of the Danny Havoc 13 match.
Now, which one did you, like you said, you thought the other death match was way more insane, but Insanity versus, you know, whatever Moxley and Gage did, which one did you prefer?
I probably prefer the Insanity, just because it was just a live spectacle. I think that's the one I keep, like, going back to in my head, like, when I think about this show, that's what I'm going to think about. And that's not to say that the main event was a bad match. It was good, but, you know, it was just, I thought the light tube match had more to offer.
Mike, any comments?
We'll have to see how it shows up. I mean, I have no idea how this shows up on DVD or anything like that, but this is for the live experience. That's how it came across to me.
Watch, it'll show up horrible and your reputation's down the toilet.
It will.
Good job. But Michael, are you there?
Yes.
Have any comments about this?
No, I actually have a comment that War of the Wire was 7 years ago. I couldn't believe it when Joe mentioned it. I had to go on the Ring of Honor website to just verify that because I don't know. It just seems. I mean, these indies, like in the past, like 10 years. I don't know. They kind of seem. They kind of all just blend together. It's like really weird to.
Dude, Ring of Honor is almost 10 years old. That's scary.
Yeah, isn't it? Anyway, I don't know. I was just checking that result real quick. But you had a good time though, Joe. Like, was your CZW experience like? Would you recommend the DVD or like? What would you recommend to check out if you watched this show? Like, what were like the best matches? I guess you would say.
Definitely the Sabian match, the Irish Drive Bio Syrian Portal, and the Ultraviolet Light Tube match. Definitely check those out. Those were all good. There's nothing awful on the show. I didn't care much for the TV title match, but it was watchable. It was short. It's a a pretty quick show. It was not, you know, it wasn't like a 5-hour marathon. It was over in 3 hours total. So cool. Should be, I mean, I don't know how it would compare to other CZW DVDs. There's no Adam Cole, which was disappointing, or Air Fox, or any of the other guys I hear hyped so much, which was a bit of a bummer, but I certainly enjoyed what I see. If they came back, I have no idea if they will. They talked about, like, maybe Deja Vu will be an annual tradition here, and I'm like, I don't know how you didn't lose your ass on this show. If you didn't, God bless you, but yeah, you want to come back, I'll do my best to be there, so.
Well, are they going to run a double shot, like Deja Vu and Massachusetts, and then, like, Dizzy Spell in New York?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
So, I just wanted to bring up one more question about this show. Like, because you were very new to the whole CZW thing. Like, out of all the guys you saw that you saw for the first time probably that night, like what were the, who were the one or two guys that you, like, came out of it the most going, I got to see more of that guy?
Definitely Ryan Slater, who I'd never heard of at all before this. Not even, like, maybe in passing, but I've heard of John Moxley. I've seen his promos, and he was impressive. He did a good job. And him and... I guess I had seen Rich Swann before, too. So definitely Ryan Slater I'd like to see more of, at least certainly him in promos. And probably
yeah,
more
I
of... Especially
Lost
Sabian. More of his current persona I was a big fan of, even though I've seen him a bunch before. But as Black Cheese, I guess we can call him a new character.
Yeah, I think the Black Cheese is awesome. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but he's good. But yeah, Rich Swann's in Evolve, I think. And I'm kind of hoping Ryan Slater and Tyler Veritas, who... unfortunately wasn't on this show, I hope he goes to Evolve too, because there's like a lot of like these undercard CZW guys who I think would fit really nicely, especially like in Evolve, because like Evolve's like that like new promotion that's trying to find like its groove, and I think like these guys could like add to it, like, you know, in a way. So a lot to look forward to, I guess, in the, you know, the upcoming year.
Yeah, was it just me or does Evolve have like way too many guys already though? Like even if you delete a few guys, there's still, like, guys that they have to shove into, like, four ways, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That's why there's only so many spots. That's why it's, you kind of have to figure out who works and who doesn't, I guess, so.
Which is why I'm almost glad that this isn't 2005, where the PWG undercard guys would be on the East Coast by now. Like, I'm glad our economy sucks, because otherwise there'd be 84 six-ways on every Evolve show. But something I wanted to bring up, like, and everyone, if you guys have watched stuff recently you want to talk about as well, you can bring that up. I watched something today that was very, very interesting and related to CZW. Al Snow is doing these clinics at CZW, apparently, like, once every couple of months. And RF Video filmed one randomly. And I got my hands on it, and I watched it today. And it's very interesting. It is... I can never look at Sami Callihan the same way, for instance. Pretty much, it's Al Snow sits around, has everyone sit around him like a campfire for like an hour, and he's like, "This is why you all suck." And then, at one point, he goes on like this 10-minute rant. I don't know what ticked it on to him, but he starts going on. He's like, "Guess who the best worker of all time is, guys?" Somebody goes, "Hulk Hogan." "No, he's good, but he's not amazing." And somebody's like, "Great Muda." He's like, "No, he sucked." You know who's the best worker of all time? Dave Meltzer. You know why Dave Meltzer was the best worker of all time? Because he's making six figures off of a business he didn't do. And then he starts talking about, like, going to the doctor and performing surgery on yourself when you're not a doctor and all this convoluted stuff. And he's, like, going into, like, Al Snow mode, which is the miserable old man whatever. But then he's like, "Okay, everyone get up and get stretched. I'm going to pair you off and do matches." And, like, Sami Callihan got some... I forget the name of the guy. It's some guy nobody's ever seen before. And Nick Burke was there randomly. And he looking like he's about 50 years old, and he got paired. And there's DJ Hyde off to the side, who, you know, probably should be participating. No, he's hanging out beside Al, like, answering all the questions. Like, they're, you know, they're buddies. They go back. They, you know, they were in Smoky Mountain together. DJ Hyde was Dixie Dynamite, obviously. And... like, okay, you got Sammy in the ring with this one guy, and, you know, they do their match. Apparently, they each get, like, an objective they're supposed to put over in their match. And Sammy, before the match, cuts a promo, and it's, like, a Sami Callihan promo. And then Al Snow, playing the role of the internet, goes, "You breathe too much." Like, just deadpan to him. And Sammy looks like he's about ready to cry.
Oh.
Because this is, like, one of his... I'm sure he thought it was, like, his best promo ever. And Al Snow was like, "No, it wasn't."
He just shit on him.
And then the other guy is like, "Hey, my name's Hydraulic," because he's black, you see. And he's like, "Sami Callihan, you might be from the last house on the left, but I'm from the first house on the block, and you got to get through my house to get to your house. So that means we got to fight." And then Al Snow was like, that was a good promo, guys. You should learn from that. And then they have a match, and I think Sammy, like, wasn't supposed to, like, Sammy was supposed to sell for him the whole time, I think. And then they went back and forth. And then Al Snow goes, if I were Vince McMahon, I'd fire both of you right now. Like, in a really, really, like, intense, breathy tone. And then he, it's like a 25-minute rant on what's all wrong with, like, with the match. And then at the end of the DVD, you have, like, this 15-year-old who has been training for a month, wrestling a 400-pound Samoan. And Al Snow goes, that's the best match of all of you guys. Because the little guy flew over the place, and the big guy just stood there and swatted him away. I could do business with you guys. Best moment of the DVD by far is at one point, Nick Burke, for some reason, Al Snow started calling him, like, attention deficit disorder. Not ADD. The compulsive one. The one where you, like you, if you hear, like, the word disease, you have to, like, tap your knee 3 times.
Anal retentive? OCD, yeah, OCD.
OCD, yeah. He started calling him OCD. So during his match, as a rip, Al Snow makes him do an OCD gimmick. And, like, every time he hears the word disease, he has to, like, tap his knee 3 times. And every time he does it, Al goes, you're not doing it big enough. You're not doing it big enough. And then at the end of the whole deal, Nick Burke's laying there like, man, I had the best match ever, you know, with this piece of crap. He's like a black dude doing a vampire gimmick. And I was like, that was the shit. In, like, his best Vince McMahon tone. And then Burke starts going off about how Johnny Ace hated my last gimmick, so I got to do a new gimmick. And then Al's like, no, you're not going to make it there because you worry too much about there. You shouldn't even be saying Johnny Ace's name, blah, 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 blah. And Nick Burke's trying to argue back. And Al Snow looks at the camera and goes, this is what's wrong with the wrestling business. And, like, Nick Burke, it pans back to him, and he has, like, this really awesome sad face on. Like, he realized his career was over at that very
point. Yeah, right. Because
like, you can tell, like, walking around the first hour or so of the DVD, you can tell in the background with Nick Burke, like, walking around trying to, like, instruct everybody that he thought that he was, like, the assistant coach or something. And then for Al to dress him down like that was hilarious.
It's
an interesting DVD. It's like a 3.5-hour seminar.
Jesus. And,
yeah, it's something. It's honestly like 18 minutes of actual ring work, and the rest of the time is Al Snow being like, I'm grumpy. Though it's not nearly as bad as his shoot interview. His shoot interview was, it made me, I don't like hurting people that much. I want to hurt Al Snow. I think it would be fun to hurt Al Snow, honestly.
I was going to say, what made you want to buy this? This sounds like punishment to watch.
Hey, I didn't buy it.
Oh.
Yeah. Come after me, Rob. I dare you. Watch, he probably will try to Mike King me.
Rob,
for those of you who don't know, Mike King was sent to jail by Rob Feinstein for bootlegging DVDs.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, have you guys watched anything recently, or am I the only loser?
Oh no, I'm with you. As it's funny you had mentioned, I watched the September Chikara shows, and talk about a show where like buildings make a difference both nights. You had mentioned last week the Baltimore show, the Cavernous Arena they had run in. Not only did it looked like the Houston Astrodome with like 100 people in it, and the ring was like a mile away from the entrance area. It took everyone forever to get down there. But the New York show, the venue was great. I think the Warsaw they called it. The place was packed. People were super hot. That's a really good show. If you haven't picked up a Chikara show in a while, I definitely get the I forgot the name of it. Something wacky, but the
New York show. Yeah. I love that building. I didn't watch it yet. I still have to watch. I just got done with the Young Lions Cup that I didn't see, so I'm going to watch the Baltimore show and the New York show hopefully this weekend or sometime soon. But, like, that building looked great. Like, I hope they run there, like, a few times a year because I loved how that looked on DVD.
Now, you guys bring up the Baltimore show with that four-way tag. I wanted to bring up something because I might be alone in this. I love those little, like, lime-looking guys. The little Charlie Manson, Chris Benoit dudes.
Oberion, yeah.
I love Oberion, those guys.
Oberion during the Young Lions Cup, I thought, like, this dude is awesome. Like, he has, like, such a presence to him. And I think, like, he's, I don't know, like, I'm really, like, excited to see, like, you know, what, like, who this guy is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was funny when he came out. Like, I didn't know he was a Chikara trainee. I thought he was just a guy from some fed somewhere nearby.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, like, your hero is Vampiro, like, that's the best you can do. But then in wrestling, I'm like, whoa, this guy's really awesome. He's got good stuff, looks good. I had no idea he was, like, I guess a rookie, and he looked fantastic for that. And, yeah, I'm real curious where what's going to happen with them. Like, I hear people say, oh, they're going to be Ultramantis' new order of the Neo Solar Temple. That could be something else. I don't know, but that guy was just like, God damn, where'd you come from?
Yeah. And I know, like, some of the Chikara guys, Joe, speaking of Chikara, me and Osaka Pro, I know, like, you're a pretty big Osaka Pro fan, so, like, what could you kind of tell us about, I guess, maybe, are you familiar with the upcoming trip to Osaka Pro that the Chikara guys are in?
Yeah, I was actually the one who posted the news, because I get the Chikara spam.
Yeah, I'm looking at your post right now, actually, and it looks like...
I posted the big thing of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, because I'm like, yes. Great taste, that tastes great together.
That's what got my attention.
Yeah, this is, let's see if I can pull it up here, but I know right off the top of my head there's a Frightmare Billy Ken Kidd match, which, I know Billy Ken Kidd, he worked some ROH,
he was in Chikara, he was in the tagline, with Ebisan, I remember.
Yeah, and they worked Ring of Honor show too, he's been around, he's real good, he's kind of the ace of the Osaka Pro promotion, that's the match everyone is like, oh, okay, we need to see this match right away. And I have to see if I can pull this up here. But, yeah, I like the good thing about Chikara is, like, it's pretty easy to avoid spoilers except for the big stuff because I get that spam email.
Yeah.
And they always reveal, like, oh, the BDK is going to defend the tag titles next month. And it's like, oh, I guess 3.0 didn't win them. But, you know.
Yeah.
I just have to mention that, too. Like, you had mentioned, like, maybe 3.0 could be the guys to unseat the BDK. I thought, whatever. But I watched that Baltimore show, and, like, I wish I hadn't known the result, because that would have been a super exciting match, like, thinking, well, maybe they could pull this off, and maybe it'll work. Wasn't meant to be, but, that was a really super match, too.
Yeah, they were over huge in Reading, so I was kind of hoping. But I'm kind of interested, like, it's weird, like, Dasher Hatfield is going to Osaka Pro, so just kind of an odd person, I guess, in Chicago to be going over there, but... Vin Gerard, Stigma, and Tim Dodson, Lindsay Dorado, in addition to Frightmare going over. So, I don't know. I think that's pretty good for everybody. You know, I'm all for people going to Japan and kind of, you know, trying out a different style and wrestling in front of a different audience.
Yeah, I know the Osaka Pro had Tiger's Mask. Not Tiger Mask, but Tiger's Mask. We used to have a baseball gimmick a while ago. I don't know if he would bring that back for a match with Dasher Hatfield. He dropped that a while back and went Rudo, but it would be cool. But I don't know if that's the reason they brought him over or whatnot. But
yeah.
I thought that was a little curious too. But yeah, that's, I mean, good to see. Good for them. You know, get experience and have some fun. And I like both companies. And I hope, you know, there's kind of a Puro, I don't want to say blackout, but the stuff being released has kind of trickled down. So hopefully that stuff surfaces eventually.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, is Osaka Pro's like stuff like available to download anywhere or something? Because
it shows up on the torrent sites. People will post them here and there, but it's pretty rare. Like, we just got a show a while ago, and I haven't seen anything since. Actually, a lot of stuff has slowed down. I don't know what the deal is, but none of, like, the big New Japan shows or anything has surfaced. So, but, yeah, hopefully people will make an effort to post that with the Chikara guys being there. I don't know if that would make a difference, but I hope it does.
Yeah, it might. A little more interest in people wanting to see it. Tom?
I was just wanting to bring up something real quick, kind of related to Japan and Chikara, but not really. I got something, because I get the spam as well, and I noticed, because Chikara, they do the whole, we're influenced by Lucha, we're influenced by this and that. I thought, they released a deal saying that, like, the season finale show is called, like, Chikaras and Produce. I thought maybe they went a little far, like, maybe a little too, like, hey, we download Osaka Pro from torrent sites too, guys, wink wink. I don't know. I hate to be negative about it, because if they're doing the Survivor Series deal, like, I am in love, but that name just, like, drives me nuts. I don't know.
It's kind of cute, and I think it's strange to be doing a Survivor Series gimmick like the month after your big Cibernetico annual elimination tag match, but I love the format too, so you know, hey, the more the merrier. If they do teams of four with cool names for everyone, then
I just hope they don't run out of guys, because, you know, five of those matches, eight guys per match, if not going to five guys per team, that's a lot of guys to have to book on your show.
I mean, they could always do four of those matches, maybe a singles match or something to round things out. So, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, real quick before we go. There's one match I just wanted to, I guess, shout out real quick. I guess I don't know if you guys have the or got wherever you watch your Ring of Honor, the Death Before Dishonor 8 pay-per-view. When it came out on DVD, it was packaged with the Buffalo Stampede 2, which was the show that, I guess, was it the night before in Hamburg, New York, I believe it is. Beautiful Hamburg, New York. And there was a match with Tyler Black and Steve Corino in the main event, and it's fucking awesome, and I strongly suggest people check it out, because I've never been, like, a huge Steve Corino guy, but, like, I don't know, I think, like, this year, I've kind of turned the corner on him, and, like, I kind of, like, appreciate him a lot more, and he had, like, a really good match with Tyler Black, and probably no one's ever going to see it, because it's, like, it's packaged with, like, the pay-per-view, and it's, like, this, you know, this throwaway show from the night before, so no one's really ever even going to watch that show, but if you could ever check on that match, it's a really good match. So.
Now, I'm kind of missing it, because Buffalo Stampede 1 was the Steve Corino-Danielson title match. Is Steve Corino a Stampeder of some sort? I don't get it.
Yeah, he must be, I don't know.
Does Buffalo really like him for him to get title shots every time they go there?
That's only the second time.
Yeah.
Oh, and Pee-wee was on that show, too. I don't know. Have you ever seen Pee-wee yet? But...
Didn't he wrestle Kevin Steen?
Oh, he wrestled Kevin Steen, but he also wrestled Roderick Strong on this show, and that's the other match. Oh, and this is the other match I wanted to pimp. I knew Tyler and Corino was in one match, but there's another one. It's Kings of Wrestling and Up in Smoke. Now, I've always been, like, a huge Cheech and Cloudy fan, but, like, and you would think, like, Kings of Wrestling, oh, night before, they're wrestling the Up in Smoke, not really a big deal, whatever. They fucking gave Up in Smoke. They made you believe that Up in Smoke, like, fucking Up in Smoke were going to beat Kings of Wrestling, like, the night before they were going to wrestle the Briscoes on pay-per-view. It was, that match was great. Have you ever seen that one time?
No, I have not.
Joe.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, no one has seen this show.
Yeah, and nobody will, Mike, because you watch too much stuff. You and Alan with your weird mid-90s video game headsets that you watch wrestling in.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. By the way, apparently there's like a 40-minute long Tyler Black Davey Richards match in ROH tonight.
Really?
I have it on the DVR. Apparently it's up there with the pay-per-view match, if it wasn't for the fact that the Philly crowds suck.
Yeah.
I hate that arena.
Yeah.
Like, who other than Chikara puts on decent shows, like, not like decent shows in terms of guys, but I mean in terms of the crowd.
Yeah. Not even really, well, Dragon Gate maybe, but that's only like once a year.
Yeah. Yeah, and even then, like, the audio is so bad on those Dragon Gate pay-per-views that it's...
Yeah, it's not even worth it.
One thing I did want to bring up before we left, this message might only mean anything to, like, one or two people that are listening. As some people might know, considering I hug his nuts all over the internet, I'm friends with Billy Rock, former IWA Mid-South Chikara wrestler, and he's doing a charity benefit here in Lafayette November 7th. And I hope I get that date right, because he'll kill me if I didn't. I just wanted to put it over in case anyone's, like, within 2 hours here. Like, Chicago, I think, is 90 minutes away. It's, like, a really solid show for this area. I just wanted to – if I could get, like, one extra person to pay $5 to come to see it. Because it's a good cause. Because, you know, cancer, obviously. But, I mean, it's a really solid card. Like, Billy Rock himself is wrestling Ricochet, and we got Irish Airborne against the awesomely random team of Tim Donston, Tarik the Great. That is fantastic. I'm loving it. And Kyle O'Reilly's facing Scotty Vortex. I mean, it's not a bad card. I just wanted to, you know, say something real quick to help Bill out.
Cool.
Yeah, if you're within that, if you're, like, within, like, 90 minutes, 2 hours of here, it's $5. And it'll be over before the football starts, I guess. I don't know. I don't watch football. Does anyone else want to show anything while we're at it? Have any eBay auctions up, Joe?
I think
I'm all set. Should we do any TV talk to?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, Raising Hope has just been deleted off my DVR because I couldn't get into it.
Thank you. And apparently they're replaying like the last four episodes instead of airing Running Wild.
I guess.
Yeah, I think Running Wild gets like one more week, and then they're doing like a marathon of Raising Hope.
I kind of thought Shit My Dad Says was pretty funny. I caught up with that over the weekend.
Really? I've heard that's like the worst show on television.
Really? I don't know. Yeah. I kind of like it, and I'll admit it. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I kind of have a soft spot for former Bret Hart opponent on Nitro, Will Sasso.
Oh, I gotta say, former manager William Shatner, but
And former Bret Hart manager. Yeah, I was going to say that show definitely has a Bret Hart tie-in. But I thought like Will Sasso is pretty funny, and Nicole Sullivan who's another Mad TV alumnus, is on that show. And I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it, but I don't know.
By the way, I've been catching up on Community because I've neglected my duty to watch that show, and NBC's finally decided that, hey, there's such a thing as on demand that people have on their cable now. So like everything's gone up on demand in the past week, and I've been watching the show. That it's the best thing on NBC right now, in my opinion. And I'm probably like missing 5 or 6 episodes in between what I have seen and what I just saw. That shows that, like, I was thinking about it because they did an awesome spoof on that Shit My Dad Says deal. It's Shit White People Say, and it was based off of Chevy Chase's character saying horrible, ridiculous, racist things, and then somebody around him tweeting it. Like, there was some line he had, like, Jews wear yarmulkes because they can't afford the full hat. This aired on NBC, by the way.
Wow. Yeah. Did anyone see the Live 30 Rock? And
yeah. I kind of, I don't know, like, I thought it was all right, I guess, just because it was live, so they had that going for it. Yeah, I think the thing I really liked about it, maybe if there was above anything else, I thought the actual show itself was eh. But I kind of like Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Liz Lemon, like during the cutaways. I thought that was kind of funny, but other than that, I don't know.
I thought that it was an interesting experiment. I thought hearing laughter like really did a number on I'm just like not used to it, and like it was cute how they did the cutaways and it's all these guest stars and all that, and
yeah,
some funny lines. It was probably a worthwhile experiment. They probably should never do it again, but you know, good for them for trying.
See, I think it'd be interesting if they did, like, if someone tried like a live sitcom without an audience, because there is something to the whole live thing. But yeah, like Joe said, the laughter kills it. Did either of you watch the West Coast feed?
No.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was like any like huge difference.
I think they just played around with John Hamm's commercial. He did something else, and maybe I think someone flubbed the line, but nothing drastically different. I don't think there was a big.
Yeah, I think I read that. I don't think there was too much of a difference because I couldn't find a stream of it. I think, and I think I like read later on like what if there was any difference, and I don't think there was anything like significant.
I will say, if you're not watching Terriers on FX, you really should be. The ratings aren't that good. I think every FX show gets a second season. And I hope this one does, because I mean, you know, it's like, oh, it's a, you know, a Private Eye show with Donald Logue, and I'm like, oh, the guy from Grounded for Life, yay! But he like legit knocks it out of the park.
That dude is great.
He is fantastic. I was just I'm blown away by him. I mean, the show, it's a Private Eye show, but it's very twisty. There's a big overarching story, and it's really like probably like 5 to 6 really funny lines every week. The banter between the characters is great. Yeah. I'm really bummed it's not a smash hit. If you haven't given it a chance, please watch it, because you may not get a chance to.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to, actually, just because I love Donald Logue. Like, I thought Grounded for Life is maybe, like, one of the most underrated sitcoms of all time. Like, I just think that show is so good, so I'd like to check that out.
And I think I'm the only person that ever saw The Tao of Steve. Horrible movie, but Donald Logue is also in that, and he's, like, 300 pounds. I'm saying he's gigantic in that movie. And I guess he gained all the weight for the movie, even though there's like one line where they call him fat. And that's why he gained 100 pounds for the movie. I'm serious. Can't write the stuff.
Yeah. Huh.
Also, another show probably going away soon, The Good Guys on Fox, which I'm a big fan of. I don't think I may be the only person watching this show. It's really funny. Bradley Whitford just does. I mean, I'm like, this is a guy from The West Wing, but he's totally fantastic. It's got Tom Hanks kid in it. Which is distracting at points because he looks just like him, and you're like, why is Tom Hanks on a show on Fox on Fridays? But no, that's another ratings atrocity that's probably going away soon, but really fun while it lasts. And maybe it'll get another life on USA. I don't know. But those are my two shows you should watch, which you probably aren't right now.
Yeah, I'm watching Glee, so I'm completely the opposite of you. I've jumped on the bandwagon, and I'm looking back at all you guys that are watching shows that nobody watches and laughing as I watch my dear Finn and Rachel sing their sweet duets.
I will never watch Glee.
Why?
I don't know. There's just something about it.
I really think, like, there's a
lot
of
guys. Joe, what do you think? Are you into it or not?
Kind of half and half, because my wife is a big fan of the show. Okay, she has it on. And I'm usually, like, I'm in the room. Like, I get why people like it, but it's not my thing. So,
yeah,
I'm kind of split.
Like, I came up on the cheesy, you know, Peter Engel comedies, so I'm, like, used to the bright colors and the horrible heat.
Oh, yeah, me too. You're right.
Well, like, but, like, the thing that hooked me was my fiance, when we first started talking, she was like, oh, Glee, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, haha, Glee sucks. And she's like, Mike O'Malley's on it. I'm like, the dude from Guts? Really?
That is very surprising.
And she's like, yeah, and he's the gay guy's dad. I'm like, what? And apparently, and she's like, yeah, and he gives like really good performances. So I started watching the show, and no joke, his first episode of the show, I weep like a baby. Because he is like so good as the dad. It's like, I am not gay whatsoever, and I'm manly, but I'm cool with you being gay, because you're my son.
Do and, you have it?
Dude, like, and they almost killed him off a couple weeks ago, and his son, Kurt, gives this really moving version of I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles, and like that's a tearjerker too. Like, I'm surprised I didn't cry, because there's they had like this montage. They found this that looks so much like Kurt that it's creepy. It was really creepy, and they had like a little tea party, and Mike O'Malley having a little tea party with this 8-year-old gay kid was somehow not funny. It was really moving. That's the effect that Glee has on people. I don't know. Like, there's this weird, like, half. I think, like, half of guys watch and half of guys don't. Because you have the half, they're like, haha, we're gay because we like Glee, nudge, nudge. And then there's the other half, they're like, yeah, you are gay for watching Glee. Oh, I like it. I enjoy it.
I just think it's been on so long now, like, it'd be hard for me just to start watching it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm just never going to watch it. You know what I mean?
Unless I didn't watch it until like the end of the first season. Like the first episode I saw while it was on TV was the beginning of the second season opener. Like, I watched it all online. And honestly, like, watching that show at 3 a.m. when you're unemployed will make you cry twice as hard. I guarantee it.
My last question is, what Nickelodeon show is going to be referenced in the title of this particular episode?
Mike, have we done Blank Explains It All? I forget. We might have with you when you did the Dragon Gate USA Live report.
No, we didn't.
Then it's Joe Gagné Explains It All. Boom. Yeah.
I'm more of an old school Nickelodeon guy. Like, I was on, like...
Like 15?
I remember, like, you can't do that on television. Still the finest thing to come out of Canada ever.
Oh, yeah, that show ruined.
That show way back when, you had the deadly duo of Mr. Wizard's World, followed by, which was like Bill Nye the Science Guy, just not interesting, and Danger Mouse, still the best thing to come out of England, and I will not debate this.
I was just going to bring up how you can't do that on television makes me hate Canada as well, because the reason why it's not out on DVD is because the CBC is all like, hey, we own half of it, so we get to decide when it comes out on DVD too, but we don't want it out. And Nickelodeon's all like, because they aired it like 5 years ago. They did like a 25th anniversary of Nickelodeon celebration. And randomly, instead of SpongeBob one day, they aired You Can't Do That on Television for like an hour during like the 5 o'clock hour, which was like their big, hey, we're Nickelodeon hour. Yep. So I don't know.
Wasn't Count Duckula, that was like from Danger Mouse. You brought up Danger
Mouse. Yeah, it was a spinoff of Danger Mouse. Never into that.
Yeah. I remember the old Nickelodeon days before, like, it moved on to, like, a little more, like, the Salute Your Shorts era, but...
Yeah, like, I remember they didn't even have Nick at Night. It used to change into, like, A&E at, like, 8 o'clock, so I'm watching Danger Mouse and, like, some Oscar Wilde play comes on or something. I'm like, what, huh? Very confusing to my 6-year-old self.
Wasn't there, like, an original Nick at Night series in, like, 91 based off of, like, a 50s cartoon? Not a cartoon, but a sitcom.
Yeah, Honey, I'm Home.
Yes.
Because I remember...
It's about a 50s family, like, in the real world.
So it was kind of like the Brady Bunch movies, which are, like, heavily underrated.
Are they? I'm going to have to go back and watch them.
Dude, those movies are really funny. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I don't know. I would imagine it would be, like, have, like, that humor maybe you get, like, if you're a little older, maybe. I don't know. Because it's the Brady Bunch movie. You don't expect it.
Yeah. Man. By the way, I'm looking at my DVD collection. They really need to do a Punky Brewster reunion movie. Like she's still an orphan. Like, the old guy died, and she's still out on her own with that dog. And then the black girl's all like, hey, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm Punky, and I'm cute. She's like, no, you're 40, and you're gross. I don't know. But I think
that girl can get trapped in the fridge again, and we can all be traumatized all over again.
I think we did it into there because we're starting to jump off a cliff.
Joe Gagné's going to get mad if this is more than an hour anyway.
Yeah.
So.
By the way, one question. True. One last question before we go, Joe. Will the winner of You versus Joe Gacy then face WCW for the right to take on the world?
I hope so. I have to. That's Joe Gacy, man. Let me tell you.
He's a chainsaw.
Yes.
Biz. But with that, we're gonna head out, and we were really glad and honored to have you on, Joe, because you're
It's been our pleasure, Joe. Like I was gonna ask obviously if you have anything to plug. I don't know if you have to plug, but go back in the archives of Joe versus the World. Like I used to cut my grass back in the day. I used to go on long road trips listening to the Joe versus the World show. So it was some good stuff. So check those out.
I'm stunned. It's been gone a lot longer than it was ever around. I'm honored people remember. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a lot of fun doing it. And check them out. You'll find something. You'll find some show you will enjoy. I'll say that much. You'll find a subject that at least interests you. I'll say that much.
Exactly.
And I'm so glad we'd love to have you on. Sure. I'm glad there are fine podcasts like Mike and Tom, who hopefully will keep going.
I think we will, because I'm not like dedicated to giving up like I have been in my last 8 shows.
Yeah, we're doing good. So
yeah, Mike keeps me motivated.
Yeah, we're gonna have we'll have some other guests on shortly.
Yeah.
So
some randomly good ones, for instance.
Yes.
Did I blow the secret? Ha 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 ha. So anyway, we're gonna head out. So we will speak to you all later. You guys say bye, then I'll say bye. It'll be a big chorus of byes.
Bye.
Bye.
Even if we're just dancing in the, you can't start a fire. What about your little world falling apart? This gun's for hire.